Subject matter here is enhanced laboratory testing does reduce chlamydia trachomatis infections in this area of the world.
So thanks for inviting me. Just a comment on the program. I'm listed as working for the YAP Ministry of Health. I actually work for CDC, but sometimes I feel like I'm on an island. But hopefully not today. So actually, I'm really happy to present about this because it's something that we've been working on at CDC for a number of years, and we've been working in the Pacific Islands. So I think this is a combination of a bunch of things. So just to highlight the colleagues, Maria, Sarah, and Dr. James are from YAP Island, and you'll see a graphic of where they are exactly. And Carol works in my laboratory. Roxanne Barrow is a medical epidemiologist, and I'm just the lab guy doing this presentation. So in 2007, a bunch of us from CDC went down to the United States Pacific Island affiliated jurisdictions, and we did a complete survey of what they're doing regarding STD programs. And some of the things that we did notice, this is actually stone money in YAP. That's what we did notice as a geographic location. But their per capita income is quite low, around $100 to $400. And then they had a lot of different health issues regarding delivering services. But really, we focused on laboratory infrastructure. And from laboratory infrastructure comes procurement and distribution. If they can't get laboratory testing, it's hard to do anything. So what we wanted to do was, when we started to look at the laboratory, we first saw for chlamydia that a lot of the tests that they were using were on required invasive sampling, either endocervical swabs or urethral swabs. Three of the jurisdictions were using EIAs, which are not CDC recommended because they're very low sensitivity. So they're using Clearview standard diagnostics and BioStar. And the three other areas were using the GenPro PACE test, which has now been removed from the market. For gram stain, they were doing grams, or for gonorrhea, they're doing gram stain on urethritis or endocervical swabs on endocervical swabs. Sometimes works okay, but get some false positives. And syphilis, they're doing RPRs. So of the laboratory testing, when we looked at it, we didn't know what the quality of the laboratory testing, the results that were coming out, because a lot of these tests that they were using, when I looked in the refrigerator, a lot of them were expired kits. A lot of them were, we asked them, when was the last time you did chlamydia? Well, whenever they had a kit in. So they wouldn't do it on a routine basis. So there was a lack of also quality assurance programs. The three U.S. territories have to adhere to CLIA. The other three, the freely associated states, didn't have to adhere to CLIA. So they may or may not have had a good quality assurance program ongoing. So we didn't know what the burden of chlamydia and gonorrhea was in the jurisdiction. So that when we started to read the literature, we saw, one study in 2006 which reported a high prevalence in seven of the southern islands, not the U.S. APIs or affiliated Pacific Island jurisdictions, but in the southern ones, there was around 20% chlamydia, which seems like a pretty high number to us. So, but again, in the U.S. areas where we were assessing, we didn't have an idea of what the prevalence really was. So just to give you some geography, this is Hawaii up here, Australia, and the three U.S. territories are the Northern Marianas, Guam, and America Samoa. And America Samoa is the one that's on this side of the dateline, so it's quite far out. In fact, to get to America Samoa, you can't go fly directly from Guam. You'd have to either go through Hawaii or through Australia or Hawaii. And then the three affiliated or freely associated countries are the Republic of Palau, Republic of Marshall Islands, and the Federated States of Micronesia. The Federated States of Micronesia, it's an island chain, which YAP is over here. There's Ponape, Chuuk, and Kosrae. So when we started to look at this, and we wanted to say, what was the burden of infection for chlamydia and gonorrhea, because I could offer that testing in my laboratory, we focused on three areas. We focused on FSM, or the Federated States of Micronesia, in particular YAP, Palau, and Guam. So today, I'm just going to talk about what we saw in YAP, but it's actually what we saw in Palau and Guam. So it's just, and YAP is just the key highlight, I think, and that's why I decided to present on it. So what we did, we offered universal screening to everybody in YAP, 14 years of age. So anyone above 14, up to 60 or 70, make them feel young again, screen for chlamydia and gonorrhea. YAP is a population of about 11,000 people, and it's separated in a lot of different islands. So there's a main island, around 7,000 to 8,000 people, and then all these little neighboring islands that you have to get a boat out to. We asked them to do self-collected vaginal swabs, so, which was an interesting thing for a population that's not used to doing chlamydia screening, we said, well, you know, collect a selfie. So they did collect a selfie, and I like that term. So, and actually they took to doing self-collected vaginal swabs, so it was a really good thing. And for the guys, it was urine swabs, or urine specimens, obviously. All the people that tested positive were treated, and we provided the treating. But the real problem was that we asked them to do batch shipping. So they shipped this. I'm looking for water here. Is there? No, there's not water. Sorry. Do you want to go get some? Okay, thanks. So Lavisa's going to go get me some water because I'm getting dry. But it was actually batch shipping. So it took them about 2 to 4 weeks sometimes, depending on how many samples they collected, before they could collect the sample, get a result, and treat them. I'm just being mindful of the time here, so I'm going to kind of speed up a little bit. So we're into the results. So about every year we tested around 1,500 to 2,000 specimens. So it varied from year to year. And YAP did a really good job around blitz screening. So around Mother's Day and Father's Day, they did a lot of testing, around 500 to 600 specimens around that time, when they would test a lot of people. And it was a really good thing. So a lot of these patients were asymptomatic, which you would expect. And we had about 60% female and about 40% male. And when we asked, and when we started to look at the data as to what the reason for visit was, most of them were either screening advertisement, it's Mother's Day coming up, come in and collect your selfie, or it was they went out on the ships to the neighboring islands. And again, very few of these were. Thank you so much. Wait. Oh, this one's not water, actually. I'll start with that. Thanks. It's actually quite good too. So around 70% were STDs. So, you know, again, not very many were coming in for STDs, which you would expect. When we looked at it, when we stratified it by chlamydia positive, again, most of them were through the screening advertisements or on the neighboring islands. A little bit more on the STDs. So this is the real meat of the presentation, right? With the chlamydia positivity. So when we first started this in 2009, when we had a full set of data, 2009, we were seeing rates around 25% in people 10 to 29 years of age. So that's pretty darn high. So, and when actually, I'm not showing on here is the stratification by gender, but young girls were around 33% for positive for chlamydia, which was incredibly high. And then we actually started drilling down. They were actually, you could see these prevalences going down, you know, around 15% for 30 to 39 year olds. It's just pretty darn high when we think of what our guidelines are for recommending screening. And then even some of the 50 year olds had chlamydia. So, you know, that was great for them. So going down through this, and we went down every year, and we had conference calls with the program every month when we, oh my God, 2 minutes. Thanks. Some like a boxing match. So we went down. We had conference calls every month to try to force this. So they were actually doing a really good job in treating people. And over time, in the last set that I'm showing here, the prevalences have dropped down to about 15%. So I think that that's been a remarkable statement for what YAP Island has done. The gonorrhea rates have stayed kind of low. So there was some clap in YAP, and it remains there. So in summary, again, chlamydia was really endemic in YAP, and this is actually a picture of driving up into one of these villages in YAP. Chlamydia is really endemic. It's in high prevalence in young women, which are most prone to sequelae, and through enhanced laboratory, we removed some of these barriers. We removed the laboratory barrier, we removed the procurement barrier, and they did a great job in knocking that prevalence down in half, and gonorrhea infections are really low. So what are the next steps? Well, we can't continue to do the testing because it's not practical. We have to build that on island laboratory systems so that they can do testing on island and get these patients treated. But there's always going to be a challenge of costs. Again, it's a low-income country, and supplies are always going to be an issue. So we also thought about possible presumptive mass treatment. And I got 2 minutes now, right? So just to kind of, well, yeah, okay, give me the little, my iPhone argues with you. So just walk through that really fast with presumptive mass treatment, because I think in a resource-challenged setting where there's very low ability to do routine testing and treatment, you can think about this. So in the app, for instance, if you tried to treat everybody from 14 to 39 where you saw the highest prevalence in a two-week window, the app census data was around just under 6,000 people. The prevalence around that was about 15%. So around 900 people would be infected. So if you could hit 75% of the targeted population, you'd treat around 4,500 or 4,400 people, and hit about 660 infections would be presumptively treated. You would miss 221 infections, and they would serve as a reservoir for reinfection. But that's when you can really implement these blitz screening programs. So, are there questions? Thanks. I don't know, I'm too fisting now.
All right, this paper is now open for questions. Well, Hunter is walking the mic back. I'm just going to make one comment about that. You know, I was definitely looking ahead on this abstract and thinking to myself about the trachoma mass treatment programs that have had such a powerful effect in other parts of the world, and side benefits as well for other organisms that were unbeknownst to the individuals at the time. So I was thinking about some of those parallels. I'm glad you touched upon that.
Hi, John.
Hey, Sammy.
Thanks very much for that. So one of the things that comes up when you think about a prevalence of 25-30% in these populations is what's going on with sequelae. What do we know about PID rates or infertility rates on YAP? I mean, it seems like it's a perfect setting to be able to study some of these things. And before thinking about mass treatment, trying to think about how you would look at sequelae in that very confined setting. And I just was wondering what you know about that and if there are any plans to set up any studies around that.
So there are no plans, but what I do know is that we asked them to look at their medical records for the sequelae. You know, we were trying to, it's hard to get diagnoses of PID or, you know, ectopic pregnancies. Yeah, it's a little bit easier. But they're really challenged. They've got two OBGYNs on island, so trying to ask them to do a lot of work when they're trying to save people's lives, it's a challenge. We were trying to set up systems where we could even maybe just identify anybody that would come in for a health visit complaining of acute pelvic pain to try to associate that with a chlamydial test, and that was challenging. I think ideally, in the perfect world, it would be a perfect setting to look at these sort of things and to model these areas, because you could start hypothesizing what are the sequelae rates, are chlamydia screening programs really effective in this area. You could start looking at things like immunology too, and seeing the waxing and waning of these genotypes. Or is there protective immunity going on? If there is, you should see a waxing and a waning of those genotypes, and we don't know that. So I think there's I could keep on going.
Well, you'll want to be prepared for the possibility as well that after you mass treat and then people start getting second infections or reinfections, whether you might see a resurgence. So,
exactly. Exactly. So this would also give you an opportunity to actually look epidemiologically how those infections come back into that population and from where what angles they come in.
I just talked to your CDC colleagues about this.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the issues that about mass treatment is that what would be your potential effect on gonorrhea. I know it's low, but if you're using a gram for mass treatment, what is that going to do and potentially contribute to the azithromycin resistance of gonorrhea in the area?
Yeah, it could be. We don't know, and this is a problem for Guam, for instance. We don't know what the antibiotic susceptibility patterns are in gonorrhea in those jurisdictions. Some of these areas in the world, they can probably still treat with penicillin. In Northern Australia, they still treat some of their areas with penicillin because the rates are so low for penicillin resistance. In the Pacific Islands, we don't know anything as far as that. There's more gonorrhea in Guam, and Guam is the perfect opportunity to look for susceptibility. YAP, a little bit. And it would be fascinating to me because, again, it's a very closed community. So how is that strain? Is it clonal? How divergent is it? Is it mutating? I think it's a perfect opportunity. And kind of thinking about some of the earlier comments about condom use, because you see these high, what you do know from this data is there's a lot of unprotected sex going on. We asked about condoms, and what we did, are there condoms available? Yeah, there was a whole bucket of condoms, and they would go by the end of the week. Well, we'd ask about whether or not they were using them. Of course they were using them. They were using them to go fishing. They weren't using them for sex.
I'm just wondering why you chose or how you came to choose Micronesia and what difficulty you had talking them into participating in this, even in doing self-collected vaginal swabs. And just to let you know, there's a very small enclave of Micronesian people in a rural community in Minnesota. So I don't know if there's any worth in trying to connect them up with, but I know that people out there have had difficulty getting into the community to talk.
So how we chose Micronesia, I was, you know, when I went down on my one-month circuit, because I went to three islands, and by the time I hit Yap, I was getting really frustrated because we were doing these assessments, and it was really challenging for me because we didn't know what the prevalence was. So how can you make recommendations around how they should test for STDs when, A, they can't test, and, B, we don't know whether or not they should test? Is there any clap in Yap? You know, and we didn't know that. So we made the recommendation in Yap, because that's where I was, to just test everybody. And I asked them to do testing. I asked them to do vaginal swabs and if it was acceptable, and they all agreed. So they were great people to work with. They were the best people that I could ever think about with working with, because they were so willing to work with CDC.
What do you know about off-island travel patterns and the potential for continued reimportation?
So in Yap, there's not much off-island travel because people don't tend to come in, it's the Federated States of Micronesia, there's a lot of people from Chuuk that come in, fishermen that visit these off-islands, so they would probably come in through the boat as fishing vessels and come in that way. So it would be interesting to look with molecular epidemiology at these different patterns and whether or not they would relate to what's going on in Yap. But I would hypothesize that they are different than the ones that you see in Guam.
I think we're about 5 minutes over the
normal
schedule. No, it's perfect. I think that 5 minutes over is great, and it was a great session. All the papers are great, and I've enjoyed it, and thank you all for your participation.
Thank you.